Appendix 1. Consultation questions. A pitihanga 1. Nā pātai matapākinga. See https://review.hdc.org.nz to answer these questions through our online survey. Topic 1. Supporting better and equitable complaint resolution. 1.1. Did we cover the main issues about supporting better and equitable complaints resolution? 1.2. What do you think of our suggestions for supporting better and equitable complaints resolution and what impacts could they have? A. Amend purpose statement. B. Clarify cultural responsiveness. C. Clarify the role of whānau. D. Ensure gender inclusive language. E. Protect against retaliation. F. Clarify provider complaints processes. G. Strengthen the advocacy service. And H. Improve the language of complaint pathways in the Act. 1.3. What other changes, both legislative and non-legislative, should we consider for supporting better and equitable complaints resolution? Topic 2. Making the Act and the Code more effective for and responsive to the needs of Māori. 2.1. Did we cover the main issues about making the Act and the Code more effective for and responsive to the needs of Māori? 2.2. What do you think about our suggestions for making the Act and the Code more effective for and responsive to the needs of Māori and what impacts could they have? A. Incorporate tikanga into the Code. B. Give practical effect to Te Tiriti, the Treaty in the Act. 2.3. What other changes, both legislative and non-legislative, should we consider for making the Act and the Code more effective for and responsive to the needs of Māori? Topic 3. Making the Act and the Code work better for tangata whaikaha, disabled people. 3.1. Did we cover the main issues about making the Act and the Code work better for tangata whaikaha, disabled people? 3.2. What do you think of our suggestions for making the Act and the Code work better for tangata whaikaha disabled people and what impacts could they have? A. Strengthen disability functions in the Act. B. Update definitions relating to disability. C. Strengthen references to accessibility. D. Strengthen and clarify the right to support to make decisions. And E. Progress consideration of HDC's draft recommendations relating to unconsented research. 3.3. What other changes should we consider, legislative and non-legislative, for making the Act and the Code work better for tangata whaikaha, disabled people? Topic 4. Considering options for a right of appeal of HDC decisions. 4.1. Did we cover the main issues about considering options for a right of appeal of HDC decisions? 4.2. What do you think about our suggestions for considering options for a right of appeal of HDC decisions and what impact could they have? A. Introduce a statutory requirement for review of HDC decisions. And B. Lower the threshold for access to the HRRT. 4.3. What other options for a right of appeal of HDC decisions, both legislative and non-legislative, should we consider? Topic 5. Minor and technical improvements. 5.1. What do you think about the issues and suggestions for minor and technical improvements, and what impacts could they have? A. Revise the requirements for reviews of the Act and the Code. B. Increase the maximum fine for an offence under the Act from $3,000 to $10,000. C. Give the Director of Proceedings the power to require information. And D. Introduce a definition for aggrieved person. E. Allow for substituted service. F. Provide HDC with grounds to withhold information where appropriate. G. Expand the requirement for written consent for sedation that is equivalent to anaesthetic. H. Clarify the requirement for written consent where there is a high risk of serious adverse consequences. I. Clarify the Code's definition of teaching and research. And J. Respond to advancing technologies. 5.2. What other minor and technical improvements, both legislative and non-legislative, should we consider? 5.3. What are your main concerns about advancing technology in relation to the rights of people accessing health and disability services? 5.4. What changes, both legislative and non-legislative, should we consider to respond to advancing technology? Appendix 2. How our suggestions could translate into a revised code, Āpitihanga 2. Me pēwhea te whakamaramara I ngā whakaaro poaki kia pai ai te tikanga mōtika. This appendix brings draft changes to the code suggested in this document together in one place. Suggested deletions are shown by bold strike-through text, and suggested additions are shown in bold headings and underlined in bold and are unchanged. In square brackets, in square brackets is a reference to the topic and option the proposal relates to. Code of Rights showing draft changes. 1. Consumers have rights and providers have duties. 1. Every consumer has the rights in this code. 2. Every provider is subject to the duties in this code. 3. Every provider must take action to A. Inform consumers of their rights in a form and manner that takes account of their needs, and proposed change relates to topic 3, proposal C, strengthen references to accessibility, and topic 1, proposal D, ensure gender inclusive language. B. Enable consumers to exercise their rights. Every consumer has the right to be free from discrimination, coercion, harassment, and sexual, financial, or other exploitation. Right 3. Right to dignity and independence. Every consumer has the right to have services provided in a manner that respects the dignity and independence and or autonomy of the individual. Proposed change relates to topic 1. That respects the dignity and independence. Independence to be changed to autonomy of the individual. Proposed change relates to topic 1, proposed C, clarify the role of whānau. Right 4, right to services of an appropriate standard. 1. Every consumer has the right to have services provided with reasonable care and skill. 2. Every consumer has the right to have services provided that comply with legal, professional, ethical, and other relevant standards. 3. Every consumer has the right to have services provided in a manner consistent with their, replacing his or her, needs. Proposed change relates to topic 1, proposal D, ensure gender-inclusive language. 4. Every consumer has the right to have services provided in a manner that minimises the potential harm to and optimises the quality of life of that consumer. 5. Every consumer has the right to cooperation among providers to ensure quality and continuity of services. Right 5. Right to effective communication. 1. Every consumer has the right to effective and accessible communication in a form, language, and manner that enables the consumer to understand the information provided. Where necessary and reasonably practicable, this includes the right to appropriate supports and/or support people, including a competent interpreter. Proposed changes relate to Topic 3, Proposal C, strengthen references to accessibility, and Topic 3, Proposal D, strengthen and clarify the right to support to make decisions. 2. Every consumer has the right to an environment that enables both consumer and provider to communicate openly, honestly, and effectively. Right 6. Right to be fully informed. 1. Every consumer has the right to the information that a reasonable consumer in that consumer's circumstances would expect to receive, including A. An explanation of their, replacing his or her, condition, and proposed change relates to topic 1, proposal D, ensure gender-inclusive language. B. An explanation of the options available, including an assessment of the expected risks, side effects, benefits, and costs of each option. And C. Advice of the estimated time within which the services will be provided. And D. Notification of any proposed participation in teaching or research, including whether the research requires and has received ethical approval, and E. Any other information required by legal, professional, ethical, and other relevant standards, and F. The results of tests, and G. The results of procedures. 2. Before making a choice or giving consent, every consumer has the right to the information that a reasonable consumer, in that consumer's circumstances, needs to make an informed choice or give consent. 3. Every consumer has the right to honest and accurate answers to questions relating to services, including questions about A. the identity and qualifications of the provider, and B. the recommendation of the provider, and C. how to obtain an opinion from another provider, and D. the results of research. 4. Every consumer has the right to receive, on request, a written summary of information provided. Right 7. Right to make an informed choice and give informed consent. 1. Services may be provided to a consumer only if that consumer makes an informed choice and gives informed consent, except where any enactment or the common law or any other provision of this code provides otherwise. 2. Every consumer must be presumed to have decision-making capacity, replacing competent, to make an informed choice and give informed consent, unless there are reasonable grounds for believing that the consumer does not have decision-making capacity, replacing competent. Proposed changes relate to Topic 3, Proposal D, strengthen and clarify the right to support to make decisions. 3. Where a consumer has affected decision-making capacity, as in diminished competence, that consumer retains the right to make informed choices and give informed consent to the extent to their replacing his or her level of decision-making capacity or competence. Where necessary, this includes the right to support to make decisions. Proposed changes relate to Topic 3, Proposal D, strengthen and clarify the right to support to make decisions, and Topic 1, Proposal D, ensure gender-inclusive language. 4. Where a consumer does not have decision-making capacity, replacing is not competent, to make an informed choice and give informed consent, and no person entitled to consent on behalf of the consumer is available, the provider may provide services where A. it is in the best interests of the consumer, and B. reasonable steps have been taken to ascertain the will and preferences, replacing views of the consumer, and C. either, if the consumer's will and preferences, replacing views, have been ascertained, and having regard to their will and preferences, those views, the provider believes on reasonable grounds that the provision of the services is consistent with the informed choice the consumer would make if they, replacing he or she, were competent, or proposed change relates to Topic 1, Proposal D, ensure gender-inclusive language. 2. If 7, in brackets 4, in brackets C, in brackets Roman numerals 1, does not apply, the consumer's views have not been ascertained, the provider takes into account the will and preferences of the consumer to the extent they are ascertained, and the views of other suitable persons who are interested in the welfare of the consumer and available to advise the provider. Proposed changes relate to Topic 3, Proposal D, strengthen and clarify the right to support to make decisions, and Topic 1, Proposal D, ensure gender-inclusive language. 5. Every consumer may use an advance directive in accordance with the common law. 6. Where informed consent to a healthcare procedure is required, it must be in writing if A. the consumer is to participate in any research, or B. the procedure is experimental, or C. the consumer will be given medication designed to alter their level of consciousness or awareness or recall for the purpose of undertaking the procedure, replacing under general anaesthetic, or proposed changes relate to Topic 5, Proposal F, expand the requirement for written consent for sedation that is equivalent to anaesthetic. D. There is a significant risk of serious adverse effects on the consumer. Proposed changes relate to Topic 5, Proposal H, clarify the requirement for written consent where there is a high risk of serious adverse consequences. 7. Every consumer has the right to refuse services and to withdraw consent to services. 8. Every consumer has the right to express a preference as to who will provide services and have that preference met where practicable. 9. Every consumer has the right to make a decision about the return or disposal of any body parts or bodily substances removed or obtained in the course of a healthcare procedure. 10. No body part or bodily substance removed or obtained in the course of a healthcare procedure may be stored, preserved, or used otherwise than A. with the informed consent of the consumer, or B. for the purpose of research that has received the approval of an ethics committee, or C. for the purposes of one or more of the following activities, being activities that are each undertaken to assure or improve the quality of services. 1. A professionally recognised quality assurance program. 2. An external audit of services. And 3. An external evaluation of services. Right 8. Right to support. 1. Every consumer has the right to have one or more support persons of their, replacing his or her, choice present, except where safety may be compromised or another consumer's rights may be unreasonably infringed. Where support people cannot be physically present, this includes the right to have support people involved in other ways. Proposed changes relate to Topic 1, Proposal D, ensure gender-inclusive language, and Topic 1, Proposal C, clarify the role of whānau. Right 9. Rights in respect of teaching or research. The rights in this code extend to those occasions when a consumer is participating in, or it is proposed that a consumer participate in, teaching or research. Right 10. 1. Every consumer and/or their representative has the right to complain about a provider in any form appropriate to that, replacing the consumer and/or representative. Proposed change relates to Topic 1, Proposal C, clarify the role of whānau. 2. Every consumer and/or their representative may make a complaint to A. the individual or individuals who provided the services complained of, and B. any person authorised to receive complaints about that provider, and C. any other appropriate person, including 1. An independent advocate provided under the Health and Disability Commissioner Act 1994, and 2. the Health and Disability Commissioner. 3. Every provider must facilitate the fair, simple, speedy and efficient resolution of complaints. Replacing 4. Every provider must inform a consumer about progress on the consumer's complaint at intervals of not more than 1 month. See New 10, number 6 and 10, number 7. 4. Replacing 5. Every provider must comply with all the other relevant rights in this code when dealing with complaints. 5. Replacing 6. Every provider, unless an employee of a provider, must have an accessible complaints process which ensures that A. the complainant is acknowledged within 5 working days of receipt in a form and manner that takes account of the consumer's needs, unless it has been resolved to the satisfaction of the consumer within that period, and B. the consumer and/or their representative is informed of any relevant internal or external complaints procedures, including the availability of 1. Independent advocates provided under the Health and Disability Commissioner Act 1994, and 2. the Health and Disability Commissioner, and C. the, removing the word consumers, complaint and the actions of the provider regarding that complaint are documented, and D. the consumer and/or their representative receives all information that is relevant to the complaint, and E. the consumer and/or their representative is regularly provided with updates on the progress of their complaint. Proposed changes relate to Topic 3, Proposal C, strengthen references to accessibility, and Topic 1, Proposal C, clarify the role of whānau. 6. On receiving the complaint, the provider must A. use their best endeavours to resolve the complaint, and B. ensure that the consumer and/or their representative is informed of what the provider is doing to resolve the complaint in accordance with 6A and the reasons why. 7. If the complaint is not resolved within 20 working days, the provider must A. inform the consumer and/or their representative of the reasons for the delay and how long they expect it will take to resolve the complaint, and B. appropriately update and keep the consumer and/or their representative updated about progress. Removing of 7. Within 10 working days of giving written acknowledgement of a complaint, the provider must A. decide whether the provider 1. accepts that the complaint is justified, or 2. does not accept that the complainant is justified, or B. if it decides that more time is needed to investigate the complaint, 1. determine how much additional time is needed, and 2. if that additional time is more than 20 working days, inform the consumer of that determination and of the reason for it. Narrator's note, that section has all been crossed out. 8. As soon as is practicable, after a provider has made a determination on a complaint, replacing decides whether or not it accepts that a complaint is justified, the provider must inform the consumer and/or their representative of the determination and A. the reasons for the determination, replacing the decision, and B. any actions the provider proposes to take, and C. any appeal procedure the provider has in place. 9. A provider may not treat or threaten to treat less favourably than other people in the same or substantially similar circumstances, A. any consumer of services that are or may be the subject of a complaint, B. any person who makes, has made, intends to make, or encourages someone else to make a complaint, or C. any person who provides information in support of or relating to a complaint. Proposed change relates to Topic 1, Proposal E, Protect Against Retaliation. 10. Providers must communicate to consumers and/or their representatives A. accessible information about the existence of the provider's internal complaints procedures, and B. accessible information about how to use these procedures. Proposed change relates to Topic 1, Proposal F, Clarify Provider Complaints Processes. 3. Provider compliance. A provider is not in breach of this code if the provider has taken reasonable actions in the circumstances to give effect to the rights and comply with the duties in this code. 2. The onus is on the provider to prove that it took reasonable actions. 3. For the purposes of this clause, the circumstances means all the relevant circumstances, including the consumer's clinical circumstances and the provider's resource constraints. 4. Definitions. In this code, unless the context otherwise requires, advance directive means a written or oral directive, A, by which a consumer makes a choice about a possible future healthcare procedure, and B, that is intended to be effective only when the consumer, replacing he or she, is not competent. Proposed change relates to Topic 1, Proposal D, ensure gender-inclusive language. Choice means a decision, A. to receive services, B. to refuse services, C. to withdraw consent to services. Consumer means a health consumer or a disability services consumer, and for the purposes of rights 5, 6, 7, number 1, 7, number 7, to 7, number 10, and 10, includes a person entitled to give consent on behalf of that consumer. Discrimination means discrimination that is unlawful by virtue of Part 2 of the Human Rights Act 1993. Duties include duties and obligations corresponding to the rights in this code. Ethics committee means an ethics committee, A. established by or appointed under an enactment, or B. approved by the Director General of Health. Exploitation includes any abuse of a position of trust, breach of a fiduciary duty, or exercise of undue influence. Optimize the quality of life means to take a holistic view of the needs of the consumer in order to achieve the best possible outcome in the circumstances. Privacy means all matters of privacy in respect of a consumer, other than matters of privacy that may be the subject of a complaint under Part 5 of the Privacy Act 2020, or matters to which Subpart 4 of Part 7 of that Act relates. Provider means a healthcare provider or disability services provider. Representative means someone who has been chosen by the consumer to, or is otherwise entitled to, act on behalf of or speak for a consumer. Proposed change relates to Topic 1, Proposal C, clarify the role of whānau. Research means health research or disability research. Rights include rights corresponding to the duties in this code. Services means health services or disability services or both and includes healthcare procedures. Teaching includes training of providers. 5. Other enactments. Nothing in this code shall require a provider to act in breach of any duty or obligation imposed by any enactment or prevents a provider doing an act authorised by any enactment. 5A. End of Life Choice Act 2019. 1. This clause sets out how this code operates with the End of Life Choice Act 2019, the EOLC Act. For Right 4 in brackets 2 of this code, contravening Section 10, number 1, of the EOLC Act may be found or held to be providing services that do not comply with relevant legal standards. 3. Right 6, number 1, B and C, and 2 of this code is overridden by Section 10. Assisted dying must not be initiated by health practitioner of the EOLC Act. 4. Right 7, number 2 to 5 of this code is overridden by Section 6, meaning of competent to make an informed decision about assisted dying of the EOLC Act. 5. Under Clause 5 of this code, and without limiting that clause, nothing in this code requires a provider to act in breach of any duty or obligation imposed by the EOLC Act or prevents a provider from doing an act authorised by the EOLC Act. Schedule Clause 5A, inserted on the 6th of November 2021 by Section 41 of the End of Life Choice Act 2019, number 67. 6. Other rights. An existing right is not overridden or restricted simply because the right is not included in this code or is included only in part.